Tween pop star Aaron Carter is as synonymous with the late 90s, early 2000s as Y2K, AOL, and 9/11. His brother was a Backstreet Boy, and his girlfriend was Lizzie McGuire. His career rise had been lightning fast, but then so was his downfall. Aaron's later years were plagued with family drama, drug abuse, and tabloid headlines. It was one long public meltdown that came to a shocking end in a bathtub on November 5th, 2022. Come get it today on Death in Entertainment.
Live from Los Angeles.
911, what is your emergency?
Here in Hollywood now.
Two counts of murder,
injury, and death.
Oh my God!
Shocking new details
that has stunned the entertainment world.
This makes me a little nervous.
The hair stood up on my arms.
Just like in the movies.
What do you call this thing anyway?
Death in entertainment.
What is going on, Deado Universe?
Hi.
How are ya? Welcome to another edition of Death in Entertainment. My name is Kyle Plouffe.
I'm Alejandro Dowling.
And for the first time ever, sitting in studio, a man to my right, the best podcaster of this or any generation. Give it up for Mr. Ben Kissel, everybody. Hey.
It's Woo! So good to be here talking about death.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, boys.
Thanks for coming. Today, we are talking about the early death of Mr. Aaron Carter.
Man.
Yeah, he had a big career very young.
Right, right.
And then it just fell apart.
Are you telling me that someone who was a child star had a potentially troubled adult life?
No Get way. Out of town.
That is my bombshell.
What?
Apparently, child stars grow up to be unhappy.
Man, if there was only some quiet on the set, if there was just some way to figure out what happened.
Yeah, that is appropriate for this week because Mr. Dan Schneider's documentary came out called Quiet on the Set, and
it wasn't his doc. He didn't direct it.
He did not direct it.
Imagine
if he did.
Directorial debut of all time.
Yeah. He directs his own hit piece. But you know what? Where it's not going to be quiet, this studio.
Uh-oh.
Because we are going right into the story of Aaron Carter. Okay, Aaron Carter was born in Tampa, Florida.
All right.
What could go wrong? On December 7th, 1987.
Wow.
And the Carter family grew up relatively poor, so he's not a Nepo baby.
Okay.
They lived in random places, like a nursing home, where his dad worked, and even a van at one point.
Oh, man, that's a downgrade from the nursing home.
Yeah, imagine how smelly that van must have been, all the kids piling in there.
Absolutely. I mean, unless it was one of those kick-ass vans that had a VHS player, that would be pretty
dumb. Oh, my. Yeah. I was so jealous of families that had the TV and VCR.
Dude, that was incredible.
I never had that.
In the car?
I had to read.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Are you talking about at home?
No, I'm talking about in the car, like on road trip.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, that's bougie stuff there.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah. But it sounds like Ben had that.
Well, my father was, I'd learned a story about my father that made me respect him. Evidently, he bought a very nice sports car. It was his dream car, right? And he put us all in the back. We were going to go on a great vacation to the Corn Palace in South Dakota, where every kid wants to go.
Of course.
It's not made of corn, by the way, the palace. It's just got a bunch of corn stapled to the side of it. It was one of the first times I ever experienced complete and utter disappointment. But to my father's credit, he packed us, me and my two brothers, in the back of this damn car that he loved. He was like, they're way too big for this. So he got us a van. So that was very sweet that he gave up his dream car so fat Ben Kissel could watch Ace Ventura on the way to South Dakota.
But to his credit, I'm sure the trips were much smoother after that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were entertained.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kids today, they don't even know.
They don't.
They don't know. Let's talk about it.
Well, music was in Aaron's blood. He was a natural performer. self-taught musician.
No.
And did you know that he played instruments like the piano and drums?
Ah.
I did not know
and
that.
He was actually pretty good.
He actually awesome. Knew how to play music.
He did.
Wow.
So the Carter family, when they were sort of down and out, was it a musical family? Were their parents musical and this was just like paying their dues? Or was it sort of a surprise that both the Carter kids turned out to be talented musicians?
I think it was a surprise. There really wasn't that much music going on.
Yeah. Got you.
I think it had more to do with Lou Pearlman licking his lips, looking at these two young hot boys.
Oh, God.
Licking his what?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Licking his chops.
Yeah, I think in Florida, that's just what happens. If you're a kid growing up in Tampa or Orlando, you either end up on the Mickey Mouse Club
right.
yeah.
or in Skid Row.
Yeah, a lot of predators in both places.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this is no shocker. Jane Carter, Aaron's mom, became his manager or momager.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you know how I feel about momagers, Kyle.
Yeah. Alejandro hates them with a fiery passion.
Well, they're usually not very nice.
Right. I mean, I would call them mimps, mom pimps.
Ah,
because
there you go.
That's really what they are. I'm so blessed to have a mom that was a mom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All she did was like, Benjamin, you want some brownies? I'd be like, thank you, mom. At no point, she's like, sing and dance for him, baby.
I know. I said, I want to move to L.A. She was like, shut up.
Yeah.
You're going to Milwaukee.
That's where I went.
And so Aaron said that his relationship with his mom was strained
mm-hmm.
because he characterized her as being a manager first
right.
and a mom second.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
Yeah. Get out there and dance for the nice pedophile.
Right. Seriously.
Make him smile.
I mean, yeah. we hear so many stories now about parents giving over their children to these, you know, celebrities or producers. I mean, I get people struggle, but come on, that's like the biggest pitfall you could make as a parent is like, take my kid. You can trust him. He's in the music business.
Yeah.
And exactly. it's the career first
right.
as well. In Quiet on the Set, I'm sure it won't be the last time we bring this up, but one of the moms talking, one of the talking heads in that documentary, she says that there was this guy sending her daughter naked pictures and whatnot, an adult. She didn't turn him in because she didn't want to ruffle feathers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. God forbid your kid doesn't get the Nickelodeon contract.
Aaron's career started at age 7. That's very young.
Way too young. My mom didn't even put me in kindergarten until 7, which is why I graduated high school at 33.
Yeah.
33.
He started with a stint as a lead singer for the group Dead End.
Yo, at 7 years old, he was the lead singer of a group called Dead End?
Yes.
I wonder if we could predict things were going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Although this band went nowhere. I mean, as you can tell, right?
It was a dead end.
Yeah. It's the shitty Beatles. How are they? They suck. So it's not just a clever name then.
Aaron did not give up.
Good.
He was a determined little 7-year-old, and he wanted to be a pop star like his bigger brother, Nick.
Of course.
Who had recently exploded onto the music scene as 1/5 of the Backstreet Boys.
Yes, indeed. Also an apropos name once you find out what happens in the business.
Oh, yeah. Boy. So, Ben, you're at the perfect age where I'm sure you can clearly remember the rise of the Backstreet Boys.
Of course, along with NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye. It was the rise of Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake. Speaking of the Disney Club there...
Oh, yeah.
You know, most of them kind of came up through that, and there were overnight sensations to a boy from Wisconsin. But in reality, like you had mentioned, they had been in the business for a long, long time.
Yep.
I don't know how you can have a childhood like that, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
Not
it's like
one
that.
I had. That's for damn sure.
No, it's the Michael Jackson thing where
right.
you have a business.
You're a CEO
yeah.
at 7 years old. Do they love me? Do they not love me? Would
right.
If I don't have a good performance, is my mom going to you know disown me? I mean, it just got to fuck with your damn head and screw with your self-worth, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that weird psychology of they are heroes to half the kids in America.
Right.
But then their own peers, let's say they went to school some of the time, they would be jealous of these stars.
Right.
So they never really made real friendships outside the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to ask, have you seen my childhood?
Yeah, that could definitely be the theme song to this episode.
And a lot of them don't even have access to their own money. Like, right. Their parents would just take that. So they got, like, nothing in return for any of this.
Go ask Macaulay Culkin about that.
Yo, yeah. I'm getting five TMNT turtles every week, Mom. Yeah. I don't care. This $5 allowance shit is done.
Yeah. And we're going to Disney World tomorrow. Aaron idolized Nick and would want to hang out with him all the time. He was obviously the cool Big Brother pop star.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from Nick Carter. It started to become where he wanted to be with me, and the only way that he could be with me was to do what I was doing.
Right. Yeah, I have two gay older brothers, and man, I have some stories.
Yeah.
I had to be with them and do what they were doing. I'm just joking around. No, I got great older brothers.
Yeah.
And were they pop stars?
My brother was a model in Milan.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It worked.
So Aaron joined Backstreet Boys on a world tour.
Okay.
And he decided that he wanted it that way.
Nice.
Too.
Wink.
I'm thinking about Burger King and Backstreet Boys at the same time, which I think is most of Lou Pearlman's thoughts.
Yeah.
Music manager mogul and monster Lou Pearlman quickly saw Aaron's potential. So he is a Svengali-like figure who was the mastermind behind the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And in fact, in the contract, he signed on as the sixth Backstreet Boy.
Wow.
So he could get paid as a performer, too.
Wow, that is absolutely predatory. Also, he's not a mastermind of anything. He has no talent.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all of these kids, all of these young, talented people just being taken advantage. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, he must be a brilliant promoter. Look at Bill Belichick. Without Tom Brady, he's dog shit.
Right.
Without these actual great performers, Lou Pearlman is just a dude staring at your kid all weird at the playground.
Right. But what about the fact that he could spot this talent? Is that worth anything?
Because they're talented.
Yeah.
So can
still,
everybody.
Though, you know, if you don't put them in the right place or get them in the right band or promote them the right way, they might never be seen.
Alejandro.
He is pro Lou Pearlman.
No. Apologist.
Not even apologist, straight up defender.
The new documentary, Loud on the Set, Alejandro screaming about his love of Lou Pearlman.
That's just to give him a little credit to get these things going. That's all.
Yeah.
But he certainly shouldn't have been the sixth Backstreet Boy. Because he wasn't even trying to be presentable, to look presentable.
Right.
Just like a really unappealing guy.
Right. And that's the biggest fault. That's his biggest fault is his clothing.
Yeah. I mean, could you put on a college shirt once in a while?
If you're going to be massaging me like that?
Yeah. I get the no pants part, but
yeah.
Get right. A nice shirt.
Yeah. Wow, you love Lou Pearlman.
So at age 9, Aaron found himself in Berlin opening for the biggest boy band on the planet.
Wow.
Age 9.
Wow.
A record contract soon followed, and his cover of the Jets song, Crush on You, was certified gold in Germany and Australia. And the song was later featured on his self-titled debut album, which dropped in late 1997.
See, I'm not against 9-year-olds singing, but they should sing about 9-year-old shit.
Yeah.
He should be talking about Batman, Superman. Is Spider-Man really a man? He's a teenager. Like, there needs to be... I just don't like the adulting of these kids so young. Let them be kids.
Right.
That's a good point.
What's the little...
Bow Wow?
Yeah, little Bow Wow. Right. He would sing like he was a gangster.
Right.
Yeah.
But I have to say, Aaron Carter did sing about kids' stuff.
Okay.
I'll get into more of that in a little bit.
All right.
So the self-titled album was released on Lou Pearlman's label, Transcontinental. And if you know anything about Lou Pearlman, he ran a Ponzi scheme where he defrauded investors out of $1 billion.
That's insane.
Wow.
And he had all these companies that had a similar title. So that one was Transcontinental, and it always started with trans. So like Transatlantic. Or
right. Yeah.
And eventually it all just morphed into the same beast, and it was just in the business of, you know, scamming people.
Wow. So he was just scamming everyone.
But the weird part about this is, like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, the people he was scamming in this were the artists, but he was actually delivering this product.
Yeah.
So it's one of the only sort of legit things that he did, wow. even though he was still screwing over the singers and performers.
Yeah.
The reaction to Aaron Carter's first album was enthusiastic. Nothing crazy. It's classic bubblegum pop for tweeners. He was off to a great start, but nothing could prepare him for what was about to come.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
And I'm not talking about 9/11. Aaron got noticed by the bigwigs and signed a deal with Jive Records, a hot major label that also featured not only the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, but also Britney Spears, who Aaron opened up for on tour, and R. Kelly.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Let's hope he didn't meet R. Kelly.
Yeah.
But well, they were on the same label.
Yeah, it sounds like a possibility. Mm. More of a possibility than if they weren't on the same label.
That's true. In the year 2000, at 12 years old, Aaron was thrust into the spotlight as the new It tween heartthrob. His blonde bowl cut, hyperactive personality, and feel-good party sound caused a minor media sensation.
You all hear that? That's the bowl cut coming in.
Yeah.
People forget the bowl cut, how powerful the bowl cut was.
Oh, I had a great one. It was...
with the JNCOs?
Angelic. With JNCOs, yep. Everything.
Holding a tiger beat.
Rage Against the Machine t-shirt, holding a tiger beat, yep.
That's awesome.
Not able to land a kickflip, but I was trying.
That's all that matters. Yeah. Try. They say that Aaron was the Justin Bieber of his day.
Okay.
And that's the difference. The first album comes out, it's successful, but this second one, called Aaron's Party, Come Get It, peaked at number 4 on the Billboard 200, eventually selling about 3 million copies.
That's good.
Oh, that's great.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. This was considered a
no, this
no,
is...
So he was, the one was good and the second one's
yeah,
better.
This is why we're talking about him right now. Mm. Because there was a moment where he was at the top, and this is the peak of his career right here. And the titular song Aaron's Party, and a cover of, get this, I Want Candy... sugar rushed the pop charts.
Oh, God.
I love a good pun, baby.
And Aaron called his album Old School, even though he's like a kid.
I mean... we're taking it back to 5 years ago.
Oh.
With lyrics like, flyest kid on the block.
Oh.
And that's what I was saying when you're like, I hate when kids act like adults in some of these songs or movies. He was singing about kid stuff. Like in Aaron's Party, they're eating Doritos and...
Right.
I want candy.
Yeah, and candy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it does seem, again, the adults behind it, it does seem like there might be a double entendre,
yeah.
unbeknownst to the child artist, but...
I hope not.
Yeah.
So I guess he's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the youngest recording star to have 4 consecutive top 10 hits.
Wow. Michael, not Michael, huh?
He beat Michael.
Wow.
But listen, it's the youngest to have 4 consecutive top 10 hits. So doesn't necessarily mean number one.
Right.
But it's just that weird order of things. He somehow beat Michael.
Yeah, all of this is new to me. I mean, 87 and I was born in 81. Those are 6 years. At that age, those 6 years are really big.
Yeah.
So I had heard about Aaron Carter, but I didn't realize he was like the number one pop kid star.
Yeah, wow. He was. And here's a review from AllMusic at the time of the album. Quote, if you're outside of Carter's preteen demographic, Aaron's Party is exactly as bad as you think it would be. A painful blend of facile synth pop mixed with sanitized suburban hip hop jargon. This album is proof that George W. Bush is not the only one who has ever benefited from nepotism. Like bubblegum acts of the past, the only value is as pure kitsch.
All right, let me just say, though, this is an adult.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is his commentary on a child's album.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go fuck yourself.
I know.
Literally, it sounds child. He's fucking 9. Yeah. I just don't know. It doesn't have to say. Shut the fuck up.
And it is crazy, too, because Nick Carter's in Backstreet Boys, but it didn't start as nepotism. Like, they actually got in and, you know, they weren't this powerful family until after that happened.
Yeah, this reviewer is very wrong.
He should feel horrible about himself. So it's just literally look in the mirror. You're talking about a 9-year-old or whatever he is at this age. You know he's going to hear about it. It's, I mean, not to be totally sensitive over here, but it's going to hurt his feelings. And for what?
Right.
Do the kids like it? Okay, great. Move on.
Well, he is in the big arena now, so I guess you have to be prepared for stuff like that.
Yeah,
I guess.
But that's how unfair it all was. I mean, right. None of the boy bands were taken seriously.
Yeah.
Now they are because of nostalgia.
Right.
But then they were made fun of relentlessly.
I mean, by me and my friends, because we were listening to great bands like Power Man 5000.
Yeah. Oh, I was part of it, too. I'll admit it.
But I think they were also very well loved. I mean, and I remember a lot of people talking about NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and there was the fight.
But, come on, Woodstock 99, Offspring brought them on stage.
Yeah, brought Tommy's out dressed like them.
Yeah, and then beat the hell out of them with a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always base my quality of performance by Woodstock 99, the only festival where people were covered in human shit. Yeah.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea about me. I don't support Lou Pearlman or that all music reviewer, okay? Yeah. I'm just reporting the facts here. Mm-hmm. Entertainment Weekly called the album, quote, very much a pre-adolescence album.
Yep.
A collection of rhythmic, ultra-disposable jingles delivered in the chirpy voice of its leading tyke.
As opposed to the wonderful publication of Entertainment Weekly. Yeah, I know. Wow, the heartbreaking news that they brought us.
Yeah, talk about ultra disposable.
Yeah.
Some of the key tracks on there, I told you about Aaron's Party. It has a funky vibe. See, in my research, I listened to the album.
Good, good.
Ooh. And I will give him props. If I was a kid then, I was sort of a kid then, but I was old. I might have liked it. You know, it's silly, it's catchy.
Yeah.
Some of the other key tracks are My Internet Girl, very of its time.
Wow, yeah. Ahead of its time almost, right?
Talking to his crush on AOL.
Dang, all right.
And then That's How I Beat Shaq.
That's got to be awesome. I'm not going to lie, dude. Shaq Diesel was my second tape I ever bought after Naughty by Nature.
Wow.
And that Shaq album hits. Do you want me to slam it? No, wait, you want me to pass it? No. You want me to shoot it? No. You want me to slam? Slam. Dun, 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 dun.
Hell yeah.
Also, remember that video game Shaq Fu?
Yes.
That game was actually dope, dude.
Yeah.
And Kazam?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Now I'm getting weird looks. Okay, never mind. And that's what a lot of these songs were. They were story songs. Like, That's How I Beat Shaq. Shaq actually did the video for him.
Oh.
And there was another song Aaron had later on about singing how he can get his friends into a Backstreet Boys concert because that's his brother.
I mean, that's
cute. It's wholesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we listen to a little bit of this interview from Entertainment Tonight when Aaron was 12 years old.
Wow.
I try to have friends, but if I tell them anything, you know, they get kind of... you know, jealous, and you know, I want to ride this, I want to do that, I want to play Nintendo in your house, can I go in your house, you know, can I meet your brother, stuff like that. So I try to, you know, just be normal. My ultimate goal is to be a marine biologist, because that's my dream, and I've always wanted to be one, and I always wanted to be a discoverer, and, you know, go around the world, see different things, you know.
Oh, he seems so innocent and sweet.
Yeah. And so together.
Biologist, that's awesome. And it sucks. You can tell he can't have a childhood because, oh, I want to meet your brother, all this kind of stuff. Immediately people want something from him. Mm. He's 12 years old.
Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but did your parents ever do anything embarrassing when you were little?
No, not my parents. I grew up in it. No.
Because Aaron's.
Bro, dude, my parents, when I was 6 years old, we went to D.C. for this anti-abortion rally.
Oh, my God.
My parents had on our white station wagon, they had a bunch of big-ass magnets, and they were all like aborted fetuses and shit. I've told this story 1,000 times.
Holy shit.
And so everyone was flipping us off and shit, and I thought they were flipping me off, and I was like, I'm 6 years old. What the hell did that be off?
Oh, my God.
And then I got to the event, and it was in D.C., and all these dead babies were up there, and my mom pointed to all the signs, and she was like, that could have been one of your friends, Benjamin.
Wow.
And then when I got back, in reality, I had no friends in real life, and I was like, I guess they were all killed.
I guess that was them. My dad used to just walk around in the house in whitey tighties when my friends were around.
That's classic. That's classic. I'm doing that when I got kids. It's my house.
Lou Pearlman did the same thing.
Yeah.
In the studio, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's different.
That was his formal attire.
Aaron's mom, the momager, published a book the same year the album came out called Aaron Carter, The Little Prince of Pop, the story behind my son's rise to fame.
God dang. All right. What about this whole marine biology thing? They should be cultivating that.
Yeah.
And so on the jacket where it says about the author, quote, Jane Carter has been instrumental to the success of her son, Backstreet Boy Nick Carter, managing his early career, keeping a close watch over him, and forever reminding him to keep the values with which he was raised. And then she applies that to Aaron as well.
Right.
Jane Carter has been sought out by the media for interviews for years. Now she tells all as only a mother can.
I don't even want to know where this is going.
And the big revelations from this book, Aaron and his twin sister Angel have a psychic connection, and Aaron once had a near-death experience, almost drowning in the family swimming pool.
Okay, so his mom took the chance to like write that down before saving him, or?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be good for the book. Don't forget he's drowning. All right, we'll be right there.
Quit splashing.
And by the way, that is a little foreshadowing.
That's a major foreshadowing. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing to have your mom write a book.
It's humiliating. It's
praising
awful.
You.
It's also like, again, why do you love me or do you love the idea of me?
I love the money.
In his heyday, you could also watch Aaron on TV. He made guest appearances on the popular shows Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, I love that show.
Seventh Heaven.
Oh, my.
And Lizzie McGuire.
Okay.
The episode of Lizzie McGuire he was on featured a famous smooch. Ooh. Between him and Lizzie, played by Hilary Duff.
Okay.
And they dated in real life.
The love life of 12-year-olds.
Aaron later called Hilary the one that got away.
Okay.
Wow.
You know, it's very melancholy.
Yes, absolutely. We all have that person.
Aaron's publicist created a media frenzy when Aaron presented Hilary Duff a bouquet of flowers at the movie premiere for, I think, Lizzie McGuire, the movie.
Okay.
And apparently, he also was dating Lindsay Lohan at one point. So there was a love triangle between the three. And at that time, you could also see Aaron on Broadway as a Who in Seussical, the musical.
Dude,
your favorite,
sounds,
right?
I mean, I'm going. To be honest with you, I'm smoking a joint and going to see Seussical, the musical. I can see myself walking down Broadway in New York being like, what's it do today? Oh, Seussical, the musical. I'm definitely checking that out.
And it only gets weirder from here. His only major movie appearance was Fat Albert.
Really?
From the mind of Bill Cosby.
Oh, can't escape these guys.
Aaron's two follow-up albums in 2001 and 2002 had diminishing commercial returns, despite collabs with Big Bro Nick and the Baja Men.
Oh, wow.
Is that not 2002 or what?
That is so 2002.
And let's listen to this clip. You're going to appreciate this, Ben.
I can't wait.
Because we are both Wisconsinites.
Yes, sir.
This is a 2003 interview Aaron gave while in Milwaukee.
There you go. Let's go. Panthers, UWM.
Hey, Aaron Carter, how are you, my friend?
What's up? Come in.
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Awesome. Welcome to Milwaukee.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm happy to be here. Welcome to my hotel room.
Marble floors and everything. You did it in style.
Yeah, man. This is the way to go. Picture of my girlfriend.
And Aaron, can you picture of your girlfriend? Should we see if there's any fans, like, hiding outside your...
I don't know. I don't think they know I'm here.
They're just going through puberty. Huh?
There's some girls getting in a car.
I don't know.
Yeah, those are our followers. We actually have girls that follow us everywhere we go.
So. Are you serious? So they know you're here?
They definitely know
where. Now they're riding
those
the
chicks
elevators
are, by the way, old enough to drive?
Yeah.
We think he's on the fifth floor.
What are you going to be doing in a couple of weeks?
I'm going to be doing school too, but I'm going to...
Stay in school.
Yes, stay in school. School's great. Actually, I love school. I do. It's cool, you know, it occupies my time, you know, if I'm bored. So I love it.
Man, it's so interesting. Like, he wants to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And everyone that was in school wanted to be him.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
You know, that grass is always greener thing, right? And I also like the interviewer, who's also a child, that just comes in and pretends like he decorated the hotel.
Yeah.
Wow, like what you did with the place.
Yeah. So as Aaron neared adulthood, he started abusing alcohol and pills to deal with all the pressure being thrown at him. Because as I mentioned, those two albums didn't perform as well.
Right.
So that one, Aaron's Party, was very much the peak. And he has to live up to that following.
I get it. You know, I started drinking at 12. We started doing foster care then. We got a bunch of children who obviously you come into foster care when things aren't going well. Mm. And so I have, you know, almost secondhand trauma from that, my own shit too. But I mean, that's what you do when you're young.
Yeah.
You gotta self-medicate. And he was going through adult issues before he had fucking pubes.
Yeah.
And he's paying for his family.
Right.
Granted, Nick is too.
And also, but... like, what are you going to do? What's the mom going to do? Be like, put down that Michelob. I pay the bills, woman. Get out the house, woman. I pay the bills. Like, I mean, it's the whole power structure is flipped. It's whack. It's not possible to have a good, normal life without a lot of work.
Mm. And she was self-medicating with alcohol too.
Okay.
And it got worse later on. But yeah, so it's all around him, this dysfunction.
Right.
At age 16, he started huffing, which is breathing in compressed air to get high. And that would become a lifelong addiction, possibly a life-ending addiction.
Oh.
Things got worse in 2004. Not only was his career on the downturn, but his parents' volatile relationship had finally reached its breaking point and they officially divorced. Mm. So now throw family divorce into the mix.
Right. Yeah.
By 2005, the money ran out, if you can believe it. And Aaron accused his mom of mismanaging funds and outright stealing from him.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what kind of adult could steal from a child like that, but whatever. It's like, I mean, this isn't Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber, man. You're not just giving a blind kid a dead bird here.
Right.
Like, this is your child.
Yeah.
They had to work for that money.
Right.
They had to earn it.
Exactly. That's why she's a mimp.
Yeah. Now, here's a clip from 2003 about Aaron, with Aaron talking about his mom.
What happened that's made you so angry at your mother?
She changed, you know, and... I think it has a lot to do with people changing because of money. Mm. And you tend to see that a lot in the industry, you know, and it's a sad thing to see. Mm. And I personally don't like to see it because I've seen it happen to a lot of friends of mine. Mm. And when it happens to my mother, it's like, whoa.
You say that your mother took money from you.
Mm.
How much money did she take?
Over the years of, it's really untraceable, but that we have on documents, on papers, is probably about $700,000 or $800,000.
Oh my God.
Professionally, you want to sever all the ties you have with your mom?
I only have one real way to go, and that's to go back and with my father.
Oh man, that sucks for that kid.
I thought it was going to be so much more than that. $700,000 or $800,000.
It's also just him guessing.
Right.
Right, exactly. Not to mention back in the day it was a cash economy, much more cash coming through the doors. So that's just what was on paper.
Yeah.
The case never went to court and they didn't see each other for 2 years.
Wow.
Jane, the mom, changed her focus to managing a hot dog stand.
That's a weird name for a singer.
What did get filed in court was Jane's lawsuit against Lou Pearlman over royalties for Aaron's eponymous debut album. It was settled out of court. Pearlman would go on to serve jail time and suffer a fatal heart attack in 2016.
Oh, I wonder why. He was so healthy.
Here's a very interesting part. Aaron was a Lou defender until the end.
Really? Well, I mean, he was traumatized.
Lance Bass made a documentary called The Boy Band Con about Lou Pearlman and how he screwed over everybody.
Right.
And this is a clip of Aaron from that movie.
Hmm. My opinion of Lou being a sexual predator is that is not true.
Oh, I also just have to point out, much older, and definitely the drugs have been an effect here.
Yeah.
Oh, you can just see it through the years.
Mm.
That is so foul. He would come up to you and he'd teach you how to do push-ups. He taught me how to do diamond push-ups so I could build my
If there's ever anyone that didn't do push-ups, it was Lou Pearlman.
Shut up about that, guys. Like, I'm looking at that slate right now. It says Lou Pearlman Project, and it's just so sad. It just hurts, man.
It hurts to see people attack him and continuously attack him because I go through the same thing. I'm going through it right now. He was a gummy bear.
Oh, man.
He ate gummy bears.
You know, it seems to me like he just wanted one thing that was normal.
Yeah.
And he was like, can I just have one fucking thing?
And it's going to be Luke Pearlman.
I mean, oh, dang.
It's so crazy because he got so mad at his mom for stealing money. So let's say Luke Pearlman wasn't a freaking pedophile. He still stole money from him.
Right.
Why
right.
wouldn't he be upset about that? And that's in the tens of millions, most likely.
Man, you know, folks are in your life for a reason, a season, a lesson, or a blessing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of lessons here and not many blessings.
Yeah. At best, he's a con artist.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Oh, my.
One thing that might have been in Aaron's head was that Lou sort of discovered him and his brother and that it all happened because of Lou.
Sure.
But at what cost, right?
Right.
Lance Bass thought Aaron was going to tell crazy stories in the documentary and confirm long-told rumors, but instead he was an advocate for Lou. And in an interview, Lance said, or someone suggested to Lance, that it could have been Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm.
Just something to think about.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me.
Okay, so I hate to say it, but things are not going to get any better as the episode rolls on.
Mm.
People love to build up celebrities, and then they take glee in tearing them down. Aaron Carter would become the poster child for this. That brings us to House of Carters. It aired on the E! Network in October 2006. And this is a reality show, a precursor to The Kardashians, which premiered 1 year later.
Wow.
And the premise was that the five Carter kids, there's five total.
Okay.
They're living together under one roof. Aaron, Nick, and their sisters, Angel, Leslie, and Billie Jean. The two brothers stood at the center of this whole mess, trying to repair their careers and family bonds. They failed on both counts.
Right.
As each episode devolved into petty infighting and stupid drunken antics.
I can't believe a reality show based upon a family's life ruined that family dynamic. There's no way that would ever happen.
Yeah, they already had a blueprint for this because they had like the Osbournes, the Anna Nicole show, yep. Hogan Knows Best, and, whereas and all these look, families.
Hogan Knows Best, that destroyed the family.
Yeah.
You know,
that's Nick an understatement.
Yeah, Nick Hogan got into a bunch of shit, right? And then the Osbournes, that also, that was like the first season, you're like, oh, Ozzy, it's cool. And then after that, you're like, you know, he don't know the cameras are on, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, he might as well run for president. Like, he doesn't make sense. And then Anna Nicole Smith, that was just her lawyer, speaking of Howard Stern, a different Howard Stern, but he basically got all her money, and we watched her die in prime time.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what a loser.
Yeah, what a wacky show.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty sick stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
So what we're saying is this never goes well unless you're the Kardashians.
Yeah, we have a clip here of House of Carters.
Right.
They're fighting over Aaron was playing his music too loud while Nick was trying to sleep.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this is...
Leave this. Can be late at this night. No music past 12.
The way you talk to me is like I'm your little kid, dude. Is there any respect at all?
No, respect me. I'm gonna go to sleep at 12.
Okay, then go to sleep at 12.
But please, no music.
You say this every night.
Yeah, but let me tell you something real quick. You're gonna turn the music down and respect me.
Hey,
all right?
Spit in my face. All right? Dog. Don't spit in my face.
All right?
Man.
You're gonna
dog.
Respect
don't
me.
Don't spit in my
you're
face.
Respect me.
Don't spit in my
you're
face,
respect
Nick.
Me. You're gonna
don't
respect
spit
me.
In my face. I'm sick of you doing this to me. Stop it.
Respect me.
Stop it.
You're gonna respect me.
Stop it. What are you doing?
You're gonna respect.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
You're gonna respect my
get
house.
Get out of my room. What are you doing?
Well, that's healthy. And that's the most important thing.
Good and it's God. So performative. Like, to turn it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's performative, but also impactful. I mean, they're still their lives, you know? Like,
I think that turned real. When they started actually fighting.
What I mean is, I think they probably were performative anyway when the cameras were off. They just have this way of speaking to each other and probably speaking in general.
Maybe the camera does change things, though. That's for
sure. It does. It does. But yeah.
And you know the producers are like, you know, just maybe just go and talk to him, confront him a little bit. You know, they spread lies out there. They do all this shit. I was working on a show called Best Funerals Ever, which was about homegoings for funerals.
Yeah. Seen that?
Yeah. It was on TLC, I think. You know, the Learning Channel. I was casting for this thing called Houston Beauty School, which I don't think ever went anywhere. But I would talk to these gals, and the gals that I thought were like really cool for it, they were like normal and funny. And they're like, no, 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 Ben, you got to understand, we're looking for like wacky. So the chick that they ended up going with, or one of the chicks, she just held up a dead bird when she first got interviewed. She's like, this bird just hit my door, and this is the bird. And I was like, she's crazy. They're like, she's perfect. So, you know, the whole thing is set up for just, they don't care about these people.
No.
It only lasted one season, so it wasn't very successful. But it did manage to make it into the zeitgeist with a parody on SNL.
Oh, boy.
And this is with Andy Samberg and Jason Sudeikis.
Aaron, come on. We're going to be late for the meeting. Get off my back.
I have to be on your back.
Why are you always riding me?
It's the only way you listen to me.
No, get off of me. I used to rap when I was little. Just take
you have to get your life together. I know.
Things are hard for me. I have weird hair and bad skin.
Bro, I'm sorry, dude. Dude, sorry. That's my bad. That's my bad. Sorry. Look, I got to be hard on you, man. You're like a little me.
I don't even know what I got to do.
Why are you hugging me so hard?
Why do you hate me?
I don't hate you.
And why won't you listen to my beats?
Yeah.
So House of Carters set the seed for Nick and Aaron's bitter relationship as the years wore on. Brotherly love turned to hate. Aaron even proposed to Nick's ex-girlfriend, Playboy model Carrie Ann Peniche, but ended the engagement 6 days later.
Yeah, that's like Scottie Pippen. That's like Michael Jordan dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife. Michael Jordan Jr.
That yeah,
was,
that's rough.
Dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife. That shit was not about love.
No. Aaron also had a complicated relationship with his sister, Leslie, who had a brief stint as a pop singer in 2001 with the single Like Wow, which made it onto the Shrek soundtrack.
Oh.
And she was supposed to have an album, but it never got released. It was shelved.
Okay.
So that's kind of odd. She was set up to be the next Carter pop star.
Right.
And it just didn't happen. Like Aaron, she struggled with addiction. And then in January 2012, Leslie passed out in the shower while visiting her dad, Robert, in Mayville, New York. She never woke up.
Oh.
She was 25 years old.
Holy shit.
So young.
Her death was caused by mixing a muscle relaxant with Xanax and the antipsychotic drug Zyprexa.
That's why I always make sure my muscles are stressed.
Yeah.
She left behind a husband and toddler.
Dang, that's wow. So sad.
Yeah. And that brings us to Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, sweet. Let's all go dance for the American public with a smiling face as if nothing is wrong.
Season 9 in 2009. So this is a national TV show. Could be positive exposure for Aaron.
Sure.
He was partnered with dancing pro Karina Smirnoff.
Oh.
It's always weird when like a Russian person has Smirnoff as the last name.
Yeah, right. Of the Smirnoff fortune.
Yeah, like if I was Alejandro Pabst Blue Ribbon or something.
Right. Yeah, I never realized Smirnoff was a last name.
Yeah. Despite his best effort, Aaron was eliminated in fifth place.
Well, that's not bad.
Outlasting Melissa Joan Hart, Macy Gray, and Tom DeLay.
There you go.
Who was
Tom DeLay, the House Speaker?
Yeah.
Arrested?
Former House Majority Leader who was indicted for money laundering.
Yo. Oh, when did America like collapse? Yeah.
This is America, this cast.
Yeah. Wow. Cash is just flying Tom out of his DeLay. Pockets while he's moving around.
Y'all want to see a mugshot. Tom DeLay's mugshot is the best.
Oh, let's see it.
Oh my God. He's like getting his senior picture taken. He's like strangely happy.
Oh, yeah, he's super happy.
Got his little smile on. And this is the first one, the one with the bow tie, or the one with just the basic tie. That's him. He's smiling like a politician. Yeah. I love the camera. I don't know what it is.
In 2011, Aaron completed a month of rehab at the Betty Ford Clinic to treat what he called emotional and spiritual issues.
Absolutely.
Afterwards, he starred in the off-Broadway production of The Fantastics.
Okay, cool. So he's kind of getting back in there?
Yeah. And he began touring again as a solo artist and became a staple on reality TV with appearances on such shows as Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Cool.
And Celebrity Cook-Off.
Oh.
But not Celebrity Rehab.
I mean, honestly, that show is the worst. You don't get rehab like that. That is not the way rehab should go. When I did Passages of Ventura, which I pointed out before, It's not fucking Malibu. Kissel, don't go to Malibu. Stay out of Malibu, Kissel.
Yeah, it's the blue collar passages over there.
But man, the amount of intense stuff, the tears, you know, the conversations, you cannot do that on camera. You don't want, it's the most intimate, you know, you're with strangers, mm-hmm. but like, man, that's a horror. Celebrity Rehab, those producers, there's a special place for folks that made that thing.
Yeah, discussing all your deepest traumas for the world to see. That
and is... to make fun of, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, no one got better. I think Vern Troyer just pissed his chair. Yep. And, you know, I mean, it's just such trash.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of excuses you could make watching it that it's informational.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew argued that he was getting people help that otherwise wouldn't have gotten help. So to pay them to be on TV was the way you could help these people.
I mean, I've met Dr. Drew, and in that world, I suppose it makes some sense, but...
The New York Post reported that he was allegedly joining the cast back in 2008, shortly after he was busted with pot during a traffic stop in Texas. So it was reported that he was joining at one point, but it didn't end up happening.
Okay.
Aaron was also featured on Oprah's Where Are They Now? That's always where you want to be career-wise, right?
Brandy from our last episode was on that as well.
But she got the big interview with Oprah.
Yeah.
Aaron was just featured.
Oh, so they didn't even interview him? No. They were just like, oh, he's still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Yeah, might as well just have the celebrity death clock going in the corner.
Seriously.
God. In 2013, Aaron filed for bankruptcy after owing millions in taxes from his superstar tween days. The debt was quickly settled after that.
But how does he owe taxes when his mom stole it from him?
I'm sure it's his LLC.
Yeah.
He's the business.
So he's responsible.
Yeah. That's so brutal.
It's awful.
So sickening.
Yeah.
And by that
Between
point.
Lou Pearlman, his mother, and the federal government stealing his money.
They're all crooks.
I wonder why he got bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I changed my mind. Lou Pearlman kind of sounds like a bad guy.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. He came around. Alejandro comes around.
Thank you.
The point of the show is to learn and grow. We grow.
And by this point, Aaron's mom, Jane, is in no condition to help him take care of that debt. It's not like her hot dog stand lit the world on fire.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's not making any money anymore.
The only thing that makes me like her is that she has a hot dog stand. Like, that's the only thing. That's the only redeeming quality thus far.
2017, it would prove to be a fateful turning point for Aaron. In May, his dad, Robert, suddenly died of a heart attack at age 65, leaving his family heartbroken. So he never really fought with his dad that much. Okay. It was mainly his mom.
Gotcha.
Even though there's dysfunctionality, he loved both his parents.
Of course.
Just had that
so complex
drama with the mom. So this was devastating to Aaron when his dad died.
Yeah, he's just getting hit left and right, man. He's going to be like Jake Paul when he goes against Mike Tyson.
Then in July, Aaron was arrested for driving under the influence and possession of marijuana. He pleaded no contest to reckless driving and was put on probation.
Okay.
In his mugshot, which was released publicly, like Tom DeLay's, he looked like he was an emaciated drug addict, super thin, with a shaved side of his head, just one side, and neck tattoos.
I mean, honestly, it's like, again, the faces of meth. It's a billboard right there. You can see the pain in his eyes, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's scary, and it scared everybody that saw it. So fans were worried. Right. And to calm them down, he appeared on Entertainment Tonight again. And let's take a look at that interview.
I have a hiatal hernia. I have a stress condition. It's an eating disorder. How would you feel every 2 seconds seeing a tweet, you have AIDS, go die? Oh, look at this meth head. Oh, meth kills. Crack kills.
I would never say that.
Look at my teeth. Beautiful. Right?
Yeah.
Look at my teeth.
Yeah.
Look at my face. I'm not a meth head. I've never touched it in my life. It's body shaming. It is the toughest thing to deal with.
You know, so he was the victim of the 90s predatory culture, and then he also had the social media coming towards the end.
Mm.
Man, he got hit all around.
Yeah.
And I like how that interview was playing along when she looked at his teeth. She's like, yeah, beautiful.
Looks perfect.
Aaron told Us Weekly in December 2017, quote, I thought I would be dead by 30. Even when I was 13, 14, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die. Life was pretty tough. I dealt with a lot of trauma, a lot of loss, a lot of loneliness. I just felt like I needed to get away.
I just feel like he should have been a marine biologist. That's, I mean, we all feel that way. I mean, and also that's not uncommon. Like Chris Farley was my idol. I figured I'd die at 33. That was like 33, mm-hmm. You know, that's Belushi, that's Farley. And you know, like what, John Candy was like 44, 43, something like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of kids have that ideation because when you're 13, you think 30 is old. And then you get to 30 and you're like, I think my brain is almost starting to turn on.
Yeah, exactly.
And now his fame was based on his troubles.
Right.
It was not music. It was not performing.
Mm-hmm.
The well of trauma or trauma porn. Yep. That's what it became about.
People waiting around for him to die.
Mm-hmm. But also that performative side of him hamming it up too.
Right.
Mm. Like in that E.T. interview when he's showing her the teeth.
Yeah.
And he was also erratic on social media, and he loved engaging with trolls.
Right.
So he did a whole media tour, infamously pleading for help on the show The Doctors, citing such issues as substance abuse, family drama, and mental health. And so here's a clip from his first appearance on The Doctors.
Mm. Because the stress you're under, but then on top of that, everything's out there. After the DUI, I know that hurts you. Because again,
alleged
more public
DUI.
Alleged DUI. But then one of the things I also noticed when you met with Dr. Jorge, you opened up and expressed your concerns that you're worried you have HIV.
Absolutely.
I know you recently came out as bisexual.
Yes.
Is that one of the other reasons that's had you concerned? Because you admitted on the tape piece that you say I haven't always been safe sexually.
Absolutely. No, and that's a fact. I haven't always been safe sexually, and I have no qualms in saying that.
You've acknowledged that. Prescription medications, but Xanax, Klonopin,
absolutely.
You said you take opiates for surgeries that you've had in the past. Do you ever worry that you could ever overdose?
I mean, there's always that worry, but there's also the fact that I had to kiss my sister goodbye in the coffin. I know that there is no happy ending to any of those medications.
Proud of you for realizing that.
It's not even a realization, it's a fact. It's a medical fact.
And usually the doctor has to say that. Before we take a break, Aaron, I want to ask you one thing real quickly. What's your greatest fear?
My greatest fear? I don't even know how to answer that question. Not being able to live as long as I can. That's my greatest fear.
And what fantastic advice from the doctor. God, yeah, you talk about it. They just want him to just admit to everything.
Yeah.
Where's the help?
Yeah.
You know, there's a show in the UK, and if you ever get out there, it's something about the doctors, right? But it's totally different. I turned on the TV one time, I think I was in Scotland, just an asshole, just a butthole right there on the screen. And they were like, this guy's got, some kind of polyp or something in his butthole. But they do like real surgeries and like real stuff. It's totally different than that pop bullshit is.
Wow.
It is very unique.
Yeah, this one, they're like, oh, so you're bisexual, huh?
Tell me about that. Is that why you have AIDS?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, you have HIV? Yeah, I hear you like to blow dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you, doctor.
Yeah, you're nervous about HIV. It's like that you can find out in a clinic in 20 minutes.
God.
Right. Like, why is he worried that he has it?
Yeah.
But this just became, but at the same time, he wasn't going to get on those shows unless he did that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he really thought he had it.
I mean, who knows? Or he did.
Yeah.
In 2017, that same year, like I said, it was a big year. AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys helped him get into a treatment center in Malibu.
Damn.
So he is.
And I've fucking been there, man. I got to get to Malibu.
So he's better than you.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. Working class. I'm a son of a truck driver. Yeah.
When AJ called to check in 2 weeks later, they told him that Aaron had already checked out. It was one of four times that he went to rehab. And in the Hulu special that's called The Little Prince of Pop, taken from the mom's book, remember?
Right.
And that was his nickname, actually, bestowed on him by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Because they became friendly.
All right.
More on that in a little bit.
Oh, boy.
So in this Hulu special, AJ said Aaron grew up with a distorted perception of reality, thinking he could get anything he wanted at any time. And in this clip, they asked him to sum up Aaron Carter in three words.
Oh, my.
A beautiful tragedy.
Jesus, AJ.
Because he did have a beautiful life when things were good. Beautiful tragedy.
I don't know if he did have a beautiful life.
Yeah.
Also, is it delusional when it's true? He got away with everything because he's paying the bills. So it's like, it's his life.
But what annoys me the most about that clip is it's not even a sentence.
Yeah. Oh, you wanted a full sentence.
Beautiful tragedy.
He was a
beautiful tragedy.
Yeah.
Is A a word?
Mm. Yes, of course. It's a great word.
Hell if I know.
In 2019, Aaron released a new album.
Hey, all right. He's back on top.
He'd been working. Well, you know, that's up to you to decide. He had been working on new music for over a decade and had been slowly putting it out there starting in 2015. So this was a new sound, obviously. He's not singing about beating Shaq anymore.
Right, right.
It's more personal. And so, yeah, it culminated with an EP in 2017, then a full album called Love in 2018. Mm. It was a solid effort, but failed to reignite his music career to the heights of his early days. So he's just going up against himself, and that's unfair.
Right.
So yeah. To the public, it's like, dude, you can't even get on the charts like when you were 12. It's
yeah.
Like, well, yeah, no one really can anymore.
How much did it sell? Because if it sold like 500,000, any other act would be like, that's great. But I guess if you had 3 million when you were 10.
Yeah.
I don't think it even did that.
Okay.
But it did fine on the internet.
Sure.
Like YouTube and whatnot. But unfortunately, his tabloid persona was taking over his pop star persona.
Got you.
All Music, who trashed him before, remember that Child's Music critique?
Yes.
Fucking guy. They give him 3.5 stars for All Music.
Okay.
But the Knoxville News Sentinel gave him 2 stars.
Whoa, you don't pass the Knoxville smell test.
Nope.
Knoxville, we know a thing or two about music.
What an asshole. Like, this poor kid has been through hell, and he finally gives you some music by the grace of God. And then it's like, you suck.
Nah, yeah. This is Knoxville Gazette. It's one of the bigger papers here in Knoxville.
Chuck Campbell from the daily newspaper Knoxville News Sentinel gave the album 2 out of 5 stars and described it as, quote, a nondescript exercise in modern formula, shallow pop EDM songs about relationships.
Thank you.
He really did not like that.
Well, there you go.
In 2019, Aaron revealed he had gone to rehab for huffing.
Okay.
Also that he had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, manic depression, and anxiety.
Dude, this is like me when I go on WebMD. He got everything. I got it all.
Aaron appeared on The Doctors again.
Dang, so they didn't help him the first time, huh?
But this time with his mom, Jane, by his side.
Oh, that'd be good.
Boy.
Their relationship was as destructive as ever. They were basically enabling each other's addictions, it appeared. And here's a clip from that.
Tell us a little bit about what your life is like now.
Oh. Just get into it, Mom. Just go. This is a conversation. This isn't an interview.
It's totally normal, life. Yeah. You're national TV in front of
me. I get up in the morning. I get up, like, real early, like,
tell them the truth.
4 or 5 o'clock, because I've always been an early riser.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing I want to do is have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I drink vodka with Kool-Aid, and so you don't really taste the vodka. Mm-hmm. And
good tip.
It gets my motor running. I feel like, oh, okay, I feel really good. Yeah. Getting some stuff done around the house. And then I know that I have to eat something by, like, noon. So then I eat.
So I go to my hot dog stand.
Take a nap, and then I get up.
Sober up.
Yeah, it's just sober up. And then I get up and I go to work, and I'm a server in a restaurant.
She's a server at a restaurant.
Dun, dun,
after
dun.
After giving up her life for her dreams for me and my brother.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there it is.
Jeez.
So things are fine.
You know, the old vodka Kool-Aid breakfast there. Dang, that brings me back to high school.
Yeah, her lips were red.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it's also good for makeup.
Yeah.
the old prison lipstick.
To any servers listening to this episode, we do not feel the same way about
Thank you for what you do. You all deserve gold medals, man. I mean, being a server in today's world where everyone's so entitled, you get yelled at all the time. Keep your head up.
Yep.
What would Denny's be without servers?
Absolutely.
It would just be a table.
It would just be a table with no moons over Miami. Come by.
No grand slam.
And I always prefer the bunt. Just one wet biscuit they give you.
In September 2019, brother Nick, remember Nick?
Of course.
How could we forget?
Yes.
From BSB.
Yes, we do.
Filed a restraining order against Aaron after disturbing allegations and confessions he was making on social media about Nick's wife.
Oh, my.
After he made alleged disturbing confessions about Nick's wife, Lauren.
All right. So he's just popping off on social media.
Yeah. Quote, in light of Aaron's increasingly alarming behavior and his recent confessions that he harbors thoughts and intentions of killing my pregnant wife and unborn child, we were left with no choice but to take every measure possible to protect ourselves and our family, Nick tweeted at the time.
Okay.
And he also tweeted on behalf of his sister Angel and went on to say that they both love their brother and hope that he gets the proper treatment he needs before any harm comes to himself or anyone else.
... Please don't gut my wife.
Yeah.
So Jesus. That really reached fever pitch there, that their relationship.
It's soured. Yeah, usually when you threaten somebody's pregnant wife with murder of both the unborn child and the wife, things aren't going well that Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No. Aaron denied his brother's allegations, claiming in his own social media message that he had not been in touch with his sibling for 4 years.
Wow.
At one point, Aaron accused everyone in his family of abusing him in some way. Most notably, he said that his late sister Leslie sexually assaulted him for several years when she wasn't on her right meds.
Oh my.
He then publicly supported Melissa Schumann, a woman who accused Nick of rape in an interview with the Daily Beast. So this is getting crazy.
Right. And he's the one who stood up for Lou Pearlman.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So things are just like off.
It's not adding up. It's coming from every direction. And he's just kind of, it's Aaron against the world.
Right.
Also in 2019, Aaron fell for a girl named Melanie Martin on social media. So he's glued to social media.
Right.
He's getting everything from
that. That might be his worst addiction. Hmm.
She commented on a post about his dogs, saying she wished she could cuddle with them. Then he answered her back saying she could.
Uh-oh. Hey, all right. Look at that.
Well, that was easy.
Melanie soon became his fiance.
Oh, my.
If they last longer than 6 days, this is going to be a success story.
Yeah.
Because his last one was less than a week. You're out.
Wow.
They did last longer than 6 days.
Wow. They did. Love is in the air. Yeah.
He beat his own record.
Well, good for him.
And she did not date Nick previously, so that's another plus.
Okay.
They welcomed their son Prince in November 2021.
Okay.
And their relationship in general was hot and heavy, and then cold, and then frigid.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like my final seconds. Yeah. Hot and heavy, cold and frigid.
Aaron jumped on YouTube saying she was physically abusive and called the cops. And then a week later, he'd be back on with her.
Okay.
Melanie alleged he was abusive towards her as well. So he's just transferring his family drama to his relationship now. February 2022, they broke up. He said, quote, I'm too scared to start dating again, and I can't trust any woman. So I'm going to protect my soul and my heart at this time.
Okay.
And now let's talk about a couple other ways Aaron was trying to put himself out there and make money and possibly carve out a new career. In March 2020, he launched an OnlyFans.
Wow. He did. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know any of this, to be honest.
Charging between $50 to $125 to access single photos of himself.
Now, what are we talking about here? What kind of photos are you talking here?
Nudes.
Oh.
Is there any non-nude photo on OnlyFans?
I don't know.
Oh, and if
that explains why I'm not doing well. I got one, but it's just me cooking chili.
Take your pants off. You might have something there.
Hey. Oh, I don't think about that.
Oh, and
I'll be paying them money. I lost $100,000 a month on OnlyFans. People look at my balls.
Bad investment.
Right.
Oh, and if you throw in another $50, he'll rate a photo of you.
Oh, that's what I want.
And the gay site Queerty reviewed his OnlyFans. And they were nonplussed.
Wow.
They were not impressed, huh?
No. You can't please them all.
Reviews are in.
He pleased many reviewers, to be honest.
That's right.
Poor guy. We're the only ones that like him.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just sad.
Oh, they're even challenging that he's bisexual.
What?
They said, as we reported yesterday, the quote bisexual, end quote, new quote, rapper, end quote. Oh.
They're questioning everything.
They're shitting all over this guy.
Wow.
Damn.
So what, he was queer baiting or something?
I guess. That's what they think.
I mean, he's done a lot of drugs. I guarantee you he's bisexual.
Yeah, for sure.
For one reason or another.
Right. Yeah. In June 2021, you remember this? There was a boxing match versus Lamar Odom.
I totally forgot about
Dude,
that.
Dude, I totally forgot. Lamar, he's got his own things going on too.
Yeah. Right?
And in their headline, Sports Illustrated wrote, "Celebrity boxing jumps the shark with Lamar Odom, Aaron Carter bout."
Yeah, as opposed to when it was Horseshack and Screech. The fuck? I remember when this was a classy business. What the fuck are you talking? It's really jumped the shark now.
Yeah, when it was about Paula Jones and Tonya Harding.
Yeah. Now that's class.
The good old days.
Yeah. Catered by Paula Deen.
And Sports Illustrated went on to call it an attention grab.
Wait, what? No way. That TV show was an attention grab?
Yeah.
What a shocker.
My God.
And that brings us to what I call the final year.
Clever name.
Aaron was determined to get his music career back in 2022, according to friend and collaborator Dan Wright. Although he was a homebody and borderline hermit, he still found time to work on a new album. He would go...
Wait a second. He still found time? Yeah, he's at home all the time.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? No, homebody with no what job. How did he ever find the time?
But he doesn't have the energy either.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a lot of work writing pictures on OnlyFans.
Well, music.
Yeah.
He's trying to get music.
Right.
Music.
Oh, the OnlyFans was taking away.
It's taking his time away.
Oh, it was taken away?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the gays were mad at him. Because they wanted new music.
Who knows?
They didn't want pictures of his naked body. Yeah, they wanted a new song.
We've seen Cox before.
Yes, indeed. Gays, not a monolith. Yeah. A monolith. Let's point that out.
He would go around telling people he was 5 years California sober.
Just for everybody, that means not sober.
Yeah. And that he was excited to be a dad and excited to release new music.
Well, that's sweet.
So he had this optimism.
Yeah.
In June 2022, close friend Taylor Helgeson, who co-wrote all the songs on his Love album and became Aaron's manager, convinced Aaron to tour again. It's always a leech that wants money that convinces these dying pop stars to do one final tour.
Yeah. Yeah, just do this show for me. You do all the work and I'm going to take half the money.
Dance monkey.
Yeah.
Aaron still had many devoted fans, but there was also a dedicated group of hecklers who would follow him around.
Dude, that is the lamest thing ever.
Yeah.
Really? A group of anti-fans?
Yeah.
Why? Get a job.
No, they would, when he would go on tour, some of them would be right in the front row heckling him. And
for
then
what
afterwards,
reason?
Like his buddy would be like, dude, I'm sorry you had to go through that. And Aaron's like, oh, welcome to being famous.
Dang.
So the tour lasted several months. Aaron's last performance was held on October 23rd at the Black Horse Bar and Grill in Winona, Wisconsin.
Get out of here.
So he came of age in Wisconsin and His last show was in Wisconsin.
I do like this shoehorning Wisconsin. Love it. I do like that.
But it's his last show. That's fact.
That's something. Winona.
Owner Nikos Pritchett told the Wisconsin State Journal it was a well-attended show, but almost didn't happen because Carter initially canceled it last minute due to custody issues and then ended up making it work.
All I know is that Wisconsin crowd, y'all better be nice.
Quote, yeah. His performance was real good.
Okay.
We had a good time, Pritchett shared.
Good.
Saying that Carter took time to interact with fans, shaking their hands and taking pictures.
See, there you go, Wisconsin.
I like that you have it as WSJ, too, because I thought you were going to say Wall Street Journal. And you're WSJ, Wisconsin State Journal?
Yeah.
Very
That's
nice.
The one you want. That's the journal you want to read.
That's a real WSJ.
The hard-hitting journalism.
It is. You'll understand what the cheese production is that year.
Yeah.
You know.
Wall Street Journal wouldn't have covered his last show like that.
No.
Would have been a little blurb.
That's right.
We got a little slice of life there.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what cows are being tipped. What did old weird Uncle Stu do behind the barn?
Canceling scheduled appearances was becoming Aaron's thing. So there's this former child actor named Christy Carlson Romano, and she self-described her podcast as the go-to place for former child actors.
Yeah.
She booked Aaron as a guest in September 2022, but he didn't show up. And he had done the same thing to Dr. Drew, speaking of celebrity rehab, months earlier. And he also flaked out on other obligations. Aaron did show up for an appearance on Adam 22's No Jumper podcast, where he expressed interest in making amends with his brother Nick.
Okay.
Aaron had also filmed a sitcom pilot called Group around this time, where he played a fictionalized version of himself.
Oh, what a stretch.
And I've seen clips from this. I don't know if I'd call it a real sitcom. It's a little low budget.
Yeah, you want to pop an H in there?
But
shitcom?
It wasn't Friends. Let's just put it that way. Uh-huh. But it shows that he was trying to get out there.
Yeah.
And though Aaron was managing to stay busy with these projects, as fall 2022 progressed, things began spiraling out of control in his personal life. In September, he recorded a disturbing live stream that featured him huffing.
Oh, shit. Mama.
And let's listen to this. TMZ published it, of course.
Of course, out of their goodness of their heart.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, he did put it out there live.
Sure. Sounds like the Riddler from the Batman.
Yeah.
Jeez. I have demands.
Maybe he was just putting air in his tires.
So it's all dark.
Yeah, you can't even see
him, but he's just like popping a whippet or something.
I guess.
All right.
Or a can of compressed air.
Yeah. Right. Or maybe he's just cleaning off his keyboard.
Right. Yeah. Is that not an option?
And there was that groan at the end. That could have been a cow. Maybe he was still in Wisconsin.
Maybe.
Could be.
And then here's another TMZ call. This is someone called into 911, wanted to do a welfare check on Aaron.
And I'm calling about Aaron. I was just calling to see if there's any way you guys could send an officer to go check in on him. The thing is, he's a very heavy drug user, and he's inhaling computer duster, and he was doing it all night. And they got into a huge fight, and she ended up bleeding.
Yeah, she actually called in earlier and stated that she was going to go check up on him, and she was going to call back. I don't believe she ever did, but...
Yeah, she didn't call back. She just called me, and she felt like she shouldn't call you guys because there's nothing else she should do. I mean, I don't even know if there's anything you guys can do to help me. I don't know what to do at this point.
Has Aaron made statements since you last spoke to him about potentially hurting himself?
He hasn't made statements about hurting himself, but he's made statements about, like, hurting other people. Another thing, too, just to note, he said he's been abusing his animals, and she has videos of it, so I don't know if that would help either. He is very, very, very ill. He is on the verge of death.
Are they on first name basis with 911?
Yeah, what was that?
They are.
I'm calling about Aaron. Oh, yeah, we got it.
Yeah, we'll be there.
It was the new normal for them.
Wow.
And that was a friend of the couple. And so they're just constantly fighting, getting into trouble, and then he would disappear. And we heard on that call, apparently, abuse animals.
Jeez.
Like, that's a new one.
Yeah.
So really, really sad. Mm. And after that, he and fiance Melanie lost custody of their son, Prince, after Aaron had a manic episode, which led to days of intense fighting. And temporary custody went to Melanie's mom.
Okay.
Aaron tweeted that he was trying to sell his house. Quote, real estate has been super good to me, ready for a new chapter in my third home, which I plan on staying to make a beautiful life for my family. This year has been super tough, but I've learned so much.
I think the new chapter is chapter 13, bankruptcy.
Ooh.
Ooh, there we go. Kyle coming in hot.
Yeah.
I mean, the nice thing about huffing computer duster, though, great teeth. Great, real. Yeah. Not a damn crumb in there. Jesus.
That stuff must be awesome.
Bro, there's so many people doing that back in the day. They got rid of it, by the way. They got rid of the stuff that makes you high in that.
I used to sniff markers and,
oh, like, yeah, of course.
And glue. I never did the computer duster.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I didn't do the computer duster either. I just did the thing where you would huff and puff and then your friend would strangle you and you'd pass out.
Yeah, being overweight teenager for 30, run a mile, yeah.
like 30 seconds you'd be in
the choke out
game. The Land of Oz. Yeah. Then you'd wake up. What happened?
Why do I feel like doing duster is better?
Yeah. It probably is. No, that choking game. I'm surprised I survived.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to November 4th, 2022. Sheriff's deputies conducted a welfare check on Aaron around 2 a.m. at his home in Lancaster, California, after he was seen huffing again on Instagram Live. The police report states he briefly spoke with officers, then asked them to leave, and they complied. The next day, November 5th, 2022, Aaron's housekeeper stopped by around 11 a.m., and heard his dogs barking. She tried to contact him to no avail and proceeded to let herself inside. She found Aaron lifeless in a jacuzzi-style bathtub with the jet still running, submerged in water.
Oh.
He was wearing a t-shirt and necklace. The 911 operator instructed her to pull him out of the tub and perform CPR. Paramedics arrived a short time later and declared him dead. Mm. Investigators found several prescription bottles and cans of an electronic duster that he used for inhaling.
Wow, Dustin. Wow.
In the coroner's...
It was Cyber Dustin?
It's nuts. It really was Dustin. That was his...
Yeah, wow. It really was.
Jeez.
In the coroner's report, his cause of death was listed as accidental drowning after huffing difluorophane gas, essentially a spray cleaner, and ingesting Xanax.
Right.
He was 34 years old.
Wow.
Jesus.
And
I guess he outlived himself by 4 years.
He
thought he was going to go at 30.
He did.
That's really sad. Super young.
And what a 4 years. I guess the one thing you can say is he got his son Prince into the world.
Yeah, that's great. And,
you know, that wouldn't have happened.
I hope baby's doing well.
Yes. And I think baby is doing well from what I heard. Backstreet Boys found out about his death while on tour. They were at the O2 Arena in London.
Tonight we got a little bit of heavy hearts because we lost one of our family members yesterday. And we just wanted to find a moment in our show to recognize him.
Yeah.
All right.
And Nick was seen bawling.
Right, yeah. Of course.
And then Nick later issued a statement saying that although they had a complicated relationship, his love never, ever faded.
And if they would have been around longer, they would have worked it out.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he said, addiction and mental illness is the real villain here. I will miss my brother more than anyone will ever know.
Yeah.
Hillary Duff got in on the action, too. On Instagram, she wrote, I'm deeply sorry that life was so hard for you and that you had to struggle in front of the whole world. You had a charm that was absolutely effervescent. Boy, did my teenage self love you deeply.
Mm.
What about her adult self?
Jeez. Well, I don't. I feel like that was when they had their time together.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I feel like if she would have been like, I loved it when you were 13.
Yeah.
That would be kind of weird. You know what I'm saying?
Melanie's statement, the fiance, I will now be raising our son as a single mother, and this is the worst day of my life.
Mm.
But I have to be strong for our son. I am devastated. She would go on to question his cause of death. Like, why was he wearing clothes in a bathtub?
I mean, if he's me, I'll never forget when I got baptized in Jordan Park. I had to wear a white t-shirt because I was so nervous about being all naked and stuff in front of people. White t-shirt just sticks to you like fucking glue. My titties were popping.
Well, no, I'm the same way in a pool, but in a bathtub?
Yeah. I guess so. Maybe he's a never nude, like Tobias.
Never nude. We saw the OnlyFans.
That's right. Okay. Never mind.
And she would accuse his manager, Taylor Helgeson, of enabling, overworking, and using her deceased husband. He was the one that convinced Aaron to go on that tour.
Right.
That they have to, it's so weird how people like this always find that person.
Yeah.
That like builds you up.
Bro,
like,
I'm telling you, dude. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. There's a lot of people like that out there who want you to be their workhorse, and, you know, because whatever.
Yeah.
You don't got the talent or something like that. I don't know what it is.
Right.
Mom Jane, the momager, or the...
The mimp. The mommy pimp.
Thinks there was foul play involved.
I mean, or it's a long recorded history of drug abuse.
Yeah.
In March 2023, she posted a series of gruesome photos from the day Aaron died, citing the water in the bathtub looked contaminated and that many people were out to get them.
He died in it. And when you die, you start decomposing.
Right. Do you have the photos open there?
That's horrible. She shared those, by the way. I don't even want to see them, but I guess I'll look.
Yeah.
It's not
I mean, it's just weird for a mom to share the pictures of her dead son. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not of him. It's of the water scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the water, it looks like high C ecto cooler.
Yeah, it's like green.
Yeah, it's called being a person was dead in there.
Yeah, it's decomposing.
Well, she thinks it was acid or something.
Big Kool-Aid did it?
Yeah, I don't know who was out to get him.
Well, she's probably, got Kool-Aid on the mind.
Yeah, she wanted to dump some vodka in there. Yeah.
Swim around a little bit. Yeah,
get a red Solo cup.
Then you see a sign for her hot dog stand in the corner of the photo.
Yeah.
She's just trying to promote it.
She wasn't selling at the funeral. She missed out on a lot.
I'm hungry for the truth. And you know what else I'm hungry for? Jane's hot dog stand.
The snap in that dog.
This is a hot theory. And you know what else is hot? My dogs.
The greasy dogs at the hot dog stand. Come on down.
Glizzy.
So I take it you two do not think there was foul play.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, I sincerely doubt that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was quick. Yeah. He was working on a book before he died.
Hmm.
And it came out posthumously, which a lot of people thought was important.
So the book still came out. So.
Yeah. It's called Aaron Carter, An Incomplete Story of an Incomplete Life.
So sad.
Keyword incomplete.
God dang. All right.
Aaron's management team slammed the release of the obscenely disrespectful and unauthorized memoir, as well as the incomplete album Blacklisted. So they even threw some music out there, the album that he was working on, that he was excited about, but it wasn't even close to being finished.
Wow.
And who's his management team? This Taylor Helgeson guy?
Yeah.
So he's the one that's upset? Like, who put the book out?
No, he's not upset.
Oh.
His I see what you're saying. No, I like the mom and the fiance.
Yeah.
And even Hillary Duff weighed in again. She's busy with this. She called it a heartless money grab.
I'm sure she knows, man. She's been in the business.
Yeah, and she knows these people personally, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this book came out, and the big revelation was his relationship with Michael Jackson.
Okay.
During a 2019 taping of Marriage Boot Camp, Reality Stars Family Edition, Aaron said that Michael never did anything that was inappropriate, except for one time.
Oh.
He said that Jackson would call him Applehead, and he gifted him a white military-style jacket studded with crystals that Jackson wore during that reunion concert in New York City the night before 9/11.
Yeah, at MSG September 10th.
Yep.
Really?
2001.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And he was supposed to be at the Twin Towers, I believe, on September 11th, right?
Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he missed the meeting.
Because he was up all night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
And there's a 9/11 documentary, one of those where they're just interviewing people on the street while the towers are burning. And there's this one guy that has not grasped the severity of the situation yet. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, I just went to the Michael Jackson show last night and it was awesome. But now this plane crash, that's going to take all the media attention away from it.
Wow.
Jesus.
Isn't that insane?
That is a bit insane.
Okay. And so then they became like buddies after that concert, him and Michael.
Okay.
And Michael also gave him mad respect for breaking his Guinness record for those consecutive number one hits as a youngster. So here's what he wrote. Quote, Michael and I went into the main house alone and headed to his bedroom area. That day, Chris Tucker was also there and they had been riding four-wheelers around the ranch. They were there to celebrate Jackson's birthday. And then all of them smoked pot together. And then here's what he wrote happened inside. Quote, after a while, I said I was ready for bed. I hadn't really thought about where I would sleep. Obviously, there were tons of rooms in the house, but he pulled out this cot next to his bed that was already made. I never asked for that. I never asked for the cot, but there it was. I didn't care. I was tired. He turned out the lights and got into bed and we went to sleep. And so he goes on to write that a couple hours later, something woke him and he found Michael at the foot of the cot wearing tidy whiteys. And he didn't know if he was sleepwalking or not. And he was like, what the fuck? And then he shook him to wake him up. And then Aaron told him, go back to bed. And Michael just mumbled, okay. And then got back into his bed and they both went back to sleep. And Aaron never asked him about it and never mentioned it. And then when Aaron woke up the next morning, Michael was gone. So that's his big story.
Okay.
I don't know what
I'm more surprised about the tidy whiteys.
Yeah.
To be honest, I figured MJ was a boxer brief kind of guy.
And I'm fascinated that he and MJ and Chris Tucker were smoking a joint together.
Yeah.
At Neverland Ranch.
It's a hell of a weed circle.
One might ask why a grown man is smoking pot with this
underage
kid. This was around that, this would have been like 14 or something.
Okay, so yeah, he's real young here. Okay.
Yeah, he's not, it's not 2019.
Right.
It's not fresh off the doctors. Well, Michael was dead, of course.
From a doctor.
Yeah, from a doctor. Coming soon to a podcast near you.
Yep.
Bobby Jean Carter, Nick and Aaron's sister, was found unresponsive in the bedroom of her home in Florida on December 24th, 2023.
Oh, my God.
Recently. And then she was immediately taken to the hospital. In February 2024, her cause of death was revealed as intoxication by the combined effects of fentanyl and methamphetamine.
My God.
God, this family, it's just unbelievable.
Right, so we got the dad's dead, both two sisters, and Aaron. So it's just Nick, one sister, and the mom?
Yeah, Nick, Angel, and Jane.
Wow.
And her death was listed as accidental, obviously. Okay. Jane Carter told TMZ, quote, I am in shock from learning of the sudden death of my daughter, Bobby Jean, and I will need time to process the terrible reality of this happening for the third time.
Yeah, there's a lot to process.
There is. And say what you want about her.
Right, of course. She's still a person.
She had to bury a lot of kids.
No, it was horrible.
And an ex-husband.
Right. Which that might have been fun for her. I mean, she doesn't want to bury their ex, you know?
The only two living siblings from House of Carters, as we mentioned, are Nick and Angel. Together, they launched a donation fund for youth mental health in honor of Aaron after his passing in November 2022. And the last thing about Nick is, I mean, there's some girls saying he did stuff on a bus back in 2001, and this was happening in 2022 around the time that they were going to release a very Backstreet Christmas, an ABC holiday special, but then it was canceled. So
because of the allegations.
Because of the allegations.
Jeez.
Yeah, the drama continues for the Carters.
Yeah.
And I guess here we go with a quote from Aaron. We have to give up something to get something. I gave up being a normal person to see the world.
Wow.
Man, I guess so. You know, you could also be a steward, stewardess, you know, an airway. What are they called? Air waitresses now? Air waiters. A lot of ways to see the world.
Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy.
That brings us to
final thoughts.
Ben, what are your final thoughts here?
I think the industry is completely perverted. There's no justice. They use and abuse these children and throw them away. And when they're dead, the industry smiles. If you take a look at what music industry is today, it's the same shit. Hip hop is very popular because a lot of these young kids are getting $1 million loan. They don't have the ability to pay it back most of the time. And the studios just keep them basically as indentured servants. So this story is sadly as old as the industry has been around.
Yeah.
And so that's my takeaway is he's a victim in some ways. And then obviously the mental health and all the, it's just the more, what I've learned is it seemed like he was fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Very difficult to overcome a lot of what he was going through.
Yeah. I mean, as we can see with the industry, as you were saying, I mean, this week alone, P. Diddy's getting in a lot of trouble. His house was raided. He's accused of having done the same dirty tricks and deeds that you know, Mr. Perlman may have done, and
right, and possibly Nick.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Quiet on the Set, like we said, that came out this week too. So it's just, especially in children's media, there's so many sharks out there. There's so many criminals, and yeah. It is very easy for money to be held over people's heads and you know, taint their lives forever.
And I don't have children, so I can't tell people how to parent, but if you are a parent of a kid who wants to do the arts, just watch them every second.
There's yes.
No closed doors.
Never.
Nothing like that.
Yeah. There are too many predators out there. And like we saw, there were predators who were, you know, registered sex offenders that got put onto Nickelodeon shows and Disney shows after they were already arrested for it. So terrible things.
And of course, Alejandro, your final thought is Lou Pearlman. Not that bad.
Yeah.
Not that bad.
That was his first thought.
Maybe Aaron clouded my judgment because he was pretty convincing in that clip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Yeah. Well, RIP to Aaron Carter. That is a brutal, brutal story.
Okay, so should we check? Oh, wait, do you guys hear that?
You've got mail.
Oh, we got the mailbags here. What do we got?
Somebody wrote a review.
Wow.
Of our Aaron Hernandez episode.
Fantastic. A lot of Aarons.
Yeah. That's true. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Double dose of Aaron this month.
Yeah. What are the odds? And we did not plan that.
No.
Oh, wow.
That's what you call a happy accident.
Synchronicity.
Yeah. So this is from Eric Butler. Yous dudes are ruthless. Nothing is out of bounds with your jokes. I find myself slightly appalled and yet entertained and laughing.
Okay.
You did a good job gathering facts and coming to the right conclusions. IMHO. In my humble opinion.
Okay, there it is.
Well, thank
I've never
you.
Had one of those, so I don't know what that is.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you for the kind review. And yeah, if you guys want to listen to more of what we got out there, check out our podcast wherever you get it. You can find it on YouTube at Death and Entertainment. You can go to our patreon.com/deathandentertainment for extra bonus content that you won't see anywhere else. And you can help us out by throwing us a few shekels as well.
And I want to say thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank
you. Fascinating. You can check me out on BenKissel1 on Instagram. It's really the only social media thing I use.
Yep.
And yeah, so thank you all so much for all the wonderful DMs and for all the encouragement that I've received over these past months. So I really appreciate you.
Yep.
And yeah, so thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
Ben, yeah, I was going to say thank you. Yep. And I hope you'll join us again sometime.
Anytime there's an Aaron.
Oh,
I'm calling, baby.
Aaron Spelling.
Aaron Spelling. Aaron Judge with the Yankees. We don't know what's going on.
Hey.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again to Ben Kissel, and thank you all for watching this. And until next week,
don't go dying on us.
Bye.
You have just heard
a true Hollywood
shocker. I have never seen anything like this before.
Broadway, music, television, all of it.
A place that manufactures
nightmares.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Good night. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon.